ends the test. Hope you enjoyed Black Country Communion. Check them out. Jason Bonham and some of his dad's friends. Anyway, we're working on the broadcasting issues. Stick around. Rick Smith up in about 50 minutes. You're listening to The Horn.
Sleep at the switch when the three planes were hijacked, when four planes were hijacked, three were flown into buildings and another one was flown into the ground in western Pennsylvania. That's what you call keeping America safe. There's your keeping America safe when you get 3,000 people killed. That's keeping America safe. You betcha.
Time. Thank you very much, John Voight. Don't go anywhere. The great.
Yeah, thank you very much, John Voight. Thank you. Thank you to our good friend Dave Nyward over at Crooks and Liars for capturing that video. Insane. Just crazy. Note coming in from our op-ed our op-ed correspondent Reverbo of Cavalcade of Crazy, head on RadioNetwork.com. Too bad about John Voight. He gave a superb acting performance as the convict who breaks out of the Alaska prison in Runaway Train, that excellent 1985 film based on a story by Akira Kurosawa with Eric Roberts and Rebecca De Mornay. And then there's always Midnight Cowboy. Ratso Rizzo. This is an interesting night. I just can't seem to keep the stream going. And there's no reason for it. But Jesus, we'll figure out a way. We will get through this, I promise. So by all means, what do you got? What do you got in mind for tonight? Because, like I said, you know, we could play Canasta at this point, given the status of the bandwidth around here. I'm just going to try to get through to 9 p.m. because I refuse to be run off by miscreant electrons. I refuse to be run off the air by that. It won't have it. So we'll take a little break. And by the way, coming up we have the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, it being Tuesday and everything. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. Jump right in. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4. Head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Come on, Bob. Be a pro. Be a pro, Bob. But anyway, you can chime right in and bring to the table whatever you wish. We'll take a little break, like I said, and come back with the Green News Report. Does that work for you? I hope so. Oh, hold on just a minute. Stand by. Yeah, here we go. Now it's a show. We'll be back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, December 21, 2010.
The planet strikes back and packs a winter wallop. More WikiLeaks.
What's next, WikiLeaks? What's next, WikiLeaks? What's next?
Revelations on climate negotiations and biotech crops is what's next. Which is better, real or fake?
What?
Trees. We're talking about Christmas trees.
Oh, okay.
Plus, evangelical Christianity's war on environmentalists.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Make no mistake about it. Environmentalism is no longer your friend. It is your enemy.
Very nice, evangelicals. If you can't beat them, villainize them. This is your Green News Report. Today's Green News Report is sponsored by the Grace Institute for Democracy and Election Integrity, announcing their first ever award ceremony for election officials who have made an outstanding contribution to election integrity and transparency. To learn more or to learn how you can help bring more transparent elections to your state or county, please stop by democracyandelectionintegrity.org today. That's democracyandelectionintegrity.org. Okay, Des, I know that we always talk about the fact that you can't tie any one weather event to global climate change, but out here in L.A., where in late September, of all times, we hit a record high temperature, highest ever recorded in Los Angeles, we are now seeing, what are we at, about seven straight days of rain?
Record rainfall in Los Angeles.
It's becoming downright biblical here, and this goes along with the rest of the year across the rest of the world where we've seen these extraordinary weather events. What was it scientists warned us about 10 or 20 years ago?
They warned us about a trend toward more frequent, intense, and extreme weather events. Go figure, that's what we're seeing now.
And those very same scientists were the ones who were telling us how the globe will be warming, but let's not listen to them. Let's just move on.
Yeah, let's go to the tail of the tape instead. 2010 will go down as the year the planet struck back. An analysis by the Associated Press shows more people were killed by natural disasters this year alone than by terrorism attacks over the past 40 years combined. From the Haiti earthquake in January to the record Russian heat wave and Pakistan floods this summer that displaced 20 million people, much of that related to changes predicted by climate scientists. And I just want to repeat this. More people were killed by natural disasters in 2010 than in terrorist attacks over the last 40 years combined.
And yet, no war on natural disasters. Go figure. Well, there sort of is a war on natural disasters, but it's being stalled in the U.S. Senate under the notion of stopping climate change legislation.
And they're being joined by a faction of evangelical Christianity. As you heard in our teaser, there's a new series of DVDs from a coalition of evangelical Christian organizations calling themselves the Cornwall Alliance. They've released them just in time for Christmas, warning that environmentalists really want global poverty and domination.
Radical environmentalism is striving to put America and the world under its destructive control. It's seducing your children in our classrooms and popular culture. Its lust for political power now extends to the highest global levels.
You know, when I want science,
I go to the evangelical Christians and their science that, what, Noah had dinosaurs on the ark?
Yeah, they totally missed the irony of attacking science itself when they apparently believe that the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
You mean it's not?
Some tasty morsels in the latest WikiLeaks release, that treasure trove of diplomatic cables, shows U.S. diplomats plotting to pressure the European Union to accept biotech crops from U.S. companies. RawStory.com reports that the cables show a former U.S. ambassador proposing to leak a confidential list of test farms for genetically modified crops in hopes that activists would destroy them, causing them economic difficulties, literally a retaliation list.
What they were doing was hoping to leak this information so that activists would attack these particular farms?
Yeah, it seems like it would force the EU governments to dig in to resist.
So they were trying to set up the activists, essentially, to make them look bad here?
That seems to have been the plan. Another cable shows that last summer, about the same time as hackers were first breaking into computers to steal the private emails of climate scientists, leading to the ginned-up fake ClimateGate controversy, sophisticated hackers were also attempting to infiltrate the computers of U.S. State Department climate negotiations.
Do we yet have evidence or proof that it was the same hackers trying to take down the State Department computers as was hacking into those private climate scientist emails?
Results of the forensic investigations have not been released.
Well, we'll look forward to that release. And if they aren't released, well, we'll look forward to WikiLeaks releasing them. Thanks, WikiLeaks.
Finally, which is better from an environmental impact perspective, a real Christmas tree or a fake tree? According to the first ever definitive life cycle study of the issue, the answer is hands down real trees. Fake trees are manufactured and shipped overseas from China and are made of plastic that can't be recycled, whereas real tree farms capture carbon and generate oxygen, providing income for farmers inside the U.S. and are returned to the earth with city recycling services turning them into mulch.
Well, for that, I'll defer to the evangelical Christians who, as you know, are the experts in worshiping trees this time of year. For more on that and the stories we didn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. From a very soggy Los Angeles, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Seems it never rains in summer.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, the entirely frustrating first hour of the program is now concluded. It's 10 minutes past the hour. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. And we'll just hope that things hold up considerably better than they did in the first hour, and we'll just get through the rest of the program, and it'll be wonderful and exhilarating, and the conversation we've all learned to come to know and love. It's really all we got. That's where our hopes lie these days. Let's go to the phones. Sorry, don't mean to be so addled. At least, you know, I'm not as insane as Rush Limbaugh, so I'm still ahead of the game, and my problems are caused by technological gremlins. Kate wrote in during the break and said, in a perfect world, I would come in late from work, half past the hour, and hear John Voight rolling around in bed with Sylvia Miles. humming the Midnight Cowboy theme here, not listening to his crap. Geez, Joe Buck would never have sounded like that. Your electron gremlins are just being playful. Chill out. Now, see, I don't think there's any such thing as playful electrons. I know what happened. I wasn't able to watch it myself last night, but I saw God turn out the moon after we passed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. See? Earthquakes, all of that. You guys know not your power. So, and by the way, speaking of Midnight Cowboy, yeah, I really couldn't resist. Let's see, yeah, here we go.
Look, with these gals that want to buy it, most of them are old and dignified. Social register types, you know what I mean? They can't be trotting down to Times Square to pick out the merchandise. They gotta have some kind of middleman. And that's where old Daniel comes in, you know what I mean?
Hey, I'm walking here! I'm walking here! Up yours, you son of a bitch! You don't talk to me that way! Get out of here!
About that. Actually, that ain't a bad way to pick up insurance, you know.
God. I can't tell the difference between that and Fox News. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Oh, Jim. Maybe phone troubles. Hey, welcome to the program. Oh, no, not this now. Anybody? Hello?
Hey, welcome to the program.
See, I hear me in the background.
Oh, no, not this now. Hello?
Yeah, hey.
Anybody?
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, no. Let's go back to hold and wonder what in God's name's wrong with the phones. You know, I promise, I'm not gonna go all network or anything on you, because this isn't a problem of national implications. The phones don't work. They ring in, because I could hear me on the radio and on the speakers in the background, but I couldn't, no. I heard Jim for just 1 second say hello. Let's try this again. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here, but you can't hear me. So my apologies, Jim. I heard one word of yours, and you apparently can't hear me, and nobody else can either. So that means that, That means it's time for a call to CityNet and a reboot of the phone system. So stand by, please, while I take care. Jiminy! That's weird. All right. Stand by, everybody. If you're on hold, please stay that way while I try to get some stuff fixed here. All right? Can we do that, please? I appreciate it. This is the horn.
Come on.
Well, you had better do what you were told. You better listen to the radio. But everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. Sony itches. I'm the real to real. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is a sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. Say you better listen to the five shot. Cause they think that it's treason. So you had better do what you were told. You better listen to the radio.
Around here in this neck of the woods, we when something like this happens, we refer to it as being snake bit. And I don't know what's going on. I'm going to try this one more time. I know two of the three blinking lights that we have online here. I've called our tech support people. But let's see if I can get Jim online here. Can you hear me, Jim? Jim, can you hear me? All right. Nope, didn't mean to do that. Sandra, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, can you hear me, Sandra? No. Okay. Hey, have I anybody there? Madness. Well, my apologies. If you want to send me mail telling me what a diva I am or whatever, that's fine. It looks like I'm going to be on the phone with tech support for a while. So my apologies. I hate for it to be this way, but it is this way. A little net neutrality might help, but, you know. So my apologies to everybody in the chat room. We got a nice little crowd in there. My apologies to you who aren't in the chat room. My apologies to people who are listening to the archive. My apologies. We'll have to go and get this sorted out. So thanks, everybody. There's no way that, well, if I'm going to be on the phone with tech support, I can't be doing a show. I can't tell you how frustrating this is. No, it's not. It's not. But it is. It's frustrating. So have a great night, everybody. With any luck at all, tomorrow, prayer meeting Wednesday, all will be well. Thanks. And a little reminder. Even when it doesn't work, Gina, it's all for you.
Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Absence on Friday, but what it was is I had a meeting Friday, but it went longer than I anticipated. I walked in the door probably about a little bit after six and had no time to do it, and I won't get behind them. Generally speaking, I will not get behind the microphone if I haven't had an opportunity to do some prep and have some sense of what's going on in the world. And since I've been at it from about 7 a.m. till about 6 p.m. on Friday, I was clueless. And I don't think you deserve being subjected to cluelessness. Lord knows there's enough of that in the right-wing nutosphere. You don't need it coming from me. Now, I'm sure Wingnuts would say that, well, you know, he's clueless every night, but we know that's not true. I do, however, make the occasional mistake. And one of the beauties of this program, and one of the beauties of not being a drug-addled right-winger who can't admit mistakes, is the ability to be corrected and thereby to learn. So in light of the fact that this is indeed Moran Monday, I nominate me. And you'll see why. It's about 3 minutes past the hour, and let me go to an email here so you can figure this out. Well, there's nothing to figure out. It becomes abundantly clear. I got an email from our buddy Tosh. And it concerns a conversation we had on air, I guess it was last week sometime, about the Ship of the Damned. The SS St. Louis, as a matter of fact. Tosh wrote in and he said, Bob, I'm pretty sure that you and Jim, because this was a conversation with Jim about the nature of anti-Semitism in this country and various other racial bigotries as well. I'm pretty sure that you and Jim have the story of the FDR versus the Jews and the SS St. Louis skewed to favor right-wing framing. Break my heart. It wasn't intentional. Sadly, I submit that you've bought right-wing revisionism about FDR. You might try the reverse revisionist book, Saving the Jews. The steamship company took money from their passengers to bribe, we're talking about the SS St. Louis. And these are facts. The steamship company took money from their passengers to bribe Cuban officials, but the official didn't stay bribed, though the company kept the money. The St. Louis set sail to Cuba against the wishes of the Joint, i.e. the Joint Committee of Jewish Interest Groups trying to save European refugees at the time. The Joint was afraid that this publicity stunt would backfire, cutting off all immigration. They were working toward a lower-profile approach that could have accommodated all immigrants, but the steamship line had other plans. As a matter of fact, 72% of the passengers were saved despite being in the limelight and getting ripped off by the steamship company. The issue of keeping a low profile scuttled efforts to transship people through Puerto Rico and the United States Virgin Islands. The number of incoming temporary residents raised concerns from the nativists and the equivalent to today's villagers, which shut that avenue down. It is true that immigration was very limited with strict quotas on a country-by-country basis and pretty stiff likely public charge restrictions. All of these restrictions were well-established law before FDR ever took office, and had huge right-wing nativist support. Remember, the right-wing was the home of nativism long before SB 1070 was ever enacted by that disgusting right-wing neo-Nazi skinhead, practically Russell Pierce in Arizona. All of these restrictions were well-established law before FDR took office and had huge right-wing nativist support, as Tosh says. The law was enacted in 1924. Oh, who was president then? The comparison between U.S. responses and who controlled the Congress then? The comparison between U.S. responses to the Jewish orphans in Antwerp and the Blitz-based plans to send British kids, blonde hair, blue eyes, to the U.S. is especially striking. Lots of people offered to take British kids but opposed allowing Jewish kids in. It wasn't the administration that restricted immigration. It was the people, particularly conservatives, in part driven by concerns about job competition. Oh, where have we heard that before? In Paper Walls, which was recommended by a well-regarded local history teacher who buys this revisionism, you barely get 20 pages into the books before you find the FDR administration plotting and planning to improve Jewish immigration, to make it easier for Central European Jewish emigres to get in. The first, most telling thing is that they consolidated and redirected the quotas so the maximum number of people could qualify from countries outside the reach of Hitler. Each time Hitler consumed another country, FDR's team moved the quotas to where the refugees needed the slots. Additionally, they pushed very hard to get the consular officers to ease up on LPC clause, likely public charge, to allow Jews to qualify for immigration. At the time, these officers were very conservative, very racist, and very much beyond presidential, secretarial, or congressional control. Later, there was plenty of work done trying to find safe places for Jewish emigres. In fact, there was a plan to settle Jewish refugees in then vastly underpopulated Alaskan territory, which made good progress until the territorial governor filed a lawsuit contesting the plan as making Alaska different from other states and territories. Then once the shooting started, standing U.S. laws pretty much ended most immigration due to U.S. neutrality laws and German U-boats. Then again, getting sunk in the North Atlantic is a surer death penalty than even the camps. Remember, FDR appointed the first Jew to a non-financial cabinet position, Henry Morgenthau, who was a longtime personal friend and Hyde Park neighbor of the president. He also appointed the second Jewish member of the Supreme Court. What really bothers me about this revisionism, Bob, is that the very people who tried in the 1930s to keep Jews out of America, the right wing, are today trying to separate Jews out of the Democratic coalition because not enough European Jewish refugees were admitted. It wasn't because of FDR antipathy. It was a combination of the nativists, right-wing, DAR, GAR, Knights of Columbus, KKK, that opposed entry. And I really appreciate getting schooled on something like that because I don't like making howling errors, especially on something like that. So thank you very kindly, Tosh. It is, as I noted, it is Moran Monday, right? Yeah. So where's our Calliope? Let's see. Yeah, there's our Calliope. With a little nod of the head to Anderson Cooper. That's the Swiss pronunciation of Calliope, Calliope, right? Yes. It is Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your eyes. Moran Monday is here again. You can't tell the Morans without a program. And this program is the program you need for telling the Morans one from another. Vicious Morans, hateful Morans, just plain stupid Morans. But every last one of them sharing the common bond of being right-wing Morans. Moran Monday is here again. For nothing more than less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you too can step behind this thin canvas cybernetic wall that veils you away from the Morans. You will not believe your eyes nor your ears. Mostly ears, because it is, after all, radio. It is Moran Monday on the horn, and no one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes. Step right up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Head for the hills. You'll be up to your armpits. In Morans. Now, I have to admit that I'm biased. So I'm going to start out the bidding on tonight's Moran Monday with a nomination from here, sort of, how you say, close to home. Yeah. By close to home, of course, I mean politically close to home. big things happened over the weekend. The bigots in the right wing shut down the DREAM Act because they said it would give amnesty to illegal aliens, when in fact it would have opened the doors for legal and honorable service by people brought to America, not necessarily of their own free will, because they were children and too little to be able to do otherwise. It would open the door to them to military service, to college educations, to a life of something other than picking lettuce and swabbing toilets, working out of sight and out of mind in the backs of restaurants and such like as that. But the right wing of the Senate killed that. However, they did not manage to kill, don't ask, don't tell, the repeal thereof. No, it was a great day. It was a great day in American history when that bit of institutionalized bigotry, don't ask, don't tell, was repealed. It has not been signed by the president yet that I know of, but it will be. People did their duty in getting this hateful, heinous piece of legislation repealed. Ron Wyden, for instance, a senator from Oregon, suffering from prostate cancer. Ron Wyden was present in the Senate to cast his vote to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and afford honor and dignity to literally thousands of service personnel serving in our military. Ron Wyden, with cancer, was there. Who wasn't? Well, like I said, this is a Moran Monday.